years add up, and with those years, you start to get a different perspective. I was just talking to a brother last weekend, and we were sharing some stories about, you know, had we only known what we knew now, you know, 20 years ago, and so then we started to project, well, 20 years from now, we'll even know more than we know now, and so this process of maturing gives you perspective, doesn't it? We think back, I think back sometimes to my childhood and those years when you could be carefree and, you know, you didn't have all of these things. And I remember as a child, I was raised in a loving home. I had parents who cared for me, who invested themselves in me. And as time went on, though, there was a period in that, towards the end of the time I lived at home, those teenage years, where it wasn't quite as pleasant. And I'm certain I didn't make it as pleasant as it could have been for my parents. In part, it's because as you grow, as you go from a young person into a teenager, you start to want to take control of your own life. You start to want to make decisions. You start to realize that you have a say, or you will have a say in things shortly. But there's this tension that kind of arises at the same time. As much as a teenager wants to be in charge and be responsible and in charge of themselves, they know at the same time they don't necessarily have all of what it takes to do all of those things quite yet. And so there's this two ends of the spectrum. I want to be something that I know I can't quite be yet. I know I will have to become that, but I don't know exactly how I'm going to get there. And this even extends into the early 20s as those years between, I think, 19 and 21 were quite, you know, how do I become what I'm supposed to be, questions that aren't easy to answer. This tension, and that tension is in those teenage years can produce some strange behaviors. Some friction occurs sometimes. I'm seeing some heads nod out there, so some of you know what I'm talking about. If not, as a parent, you remember the tension you gave your parents when you were in that time of your life. Of course, later I found out what freedom really felt like, right? As we all did, as we mature, we find out that freedom of responsibility comes with all sorts of new things, like jobs and bills and utilities and car payments and rent, and all of a sudden that freedom we were so hungry for doesn't feel so free anymore. A new set of restrictions gets put in place. But you know, that sense, if you think back to that time when in those teenage years when you yearned for the ability to control your own circumstances, but you knew you couldn't. That same feeling isn't limited to those teenage years, though, is it? As we mature, there's seasons that we go through in life, times in our lives, storms, where we feel like things are out of control. Times when we don't see a way out or how things are going to come together or how the situation can be resolved, whatever it might be. Have you ever felt like your life's spinning out of control? You don't have to raise your hand. We've all felt that way. Someone here today may feel like there is no answer for the problems that I'm faced with. There is no way out. I can't see a path out of my situation. And we heard it this morning from God himself that he is in the storm. Yet it feels like we're all alone trying to fend for ourselves at times. This morning, I'm certain, as God has already confirmed it, he wants to lift some of these burdens from us, things that we've been carrying around, that we've been taking responsibility for, that we had no right to take responsibility for. He's going to relieve some pressures, some things. And as he does, God is going to lay a new foundation to build something on that without that strong foundation, he couldn't erect what it is that he wants to build in our lives. So you can't build a strong house on a weak foundation. You have to first have a strong foundation, and then you can build a strong house, and that's exactly what God is wanting to do. He wants to launch a building program, but it's not this physical building that needs building. No, it's this building, this temple. So if you would stand with me this morning, if you'd open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 127 and verse 1. Psalms 127 and verse 1 says this: "Except the Lord build the house, They labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep a city. The watchman waketh but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. This morning, the builder would like to lay a new foundation. Would you pray with me that the word of God would speak to us, Jesus? God, we're so grateful for what's already happening in this place, for the operation of your Spirit, God, and the alignment with your word that you have already put in front of us, God. Lord, we can have confidence that there is a work that you want to do here in our very midst, in our hearts, in our minds, God. Situations, pressures, Lord, that you want to relieve us of as we exchange the weights that we've been carrying around for something lighter, something free, something that is in your will, your perfect will for us. And we ask it all in your precious name, Jesus, this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning's message is titled, Accept the Lord, Build the House. But it's really the first in a mini-series, a building program series that God's laid on my heart. And so, accept the Lord, build a house. It's vain for those that put effort, or useless, you might say, to apply our effort to figure out our own way through this life. While society says the opposite, the world we live in says if you're smart, if you're talented, if you work really hard, well, then maybe you have a chance. But the Word of God says it doesn't matter how hard you work, how much effort you apply, how smart you are, your efforts will end in ruin if you try to work it out yourself under your own power, your own ability. But there are some things that we can do that generate positive outcomes that will give us success as we navigate this life. Here's the secret. Don't build your own house. Let God build it for you. That's right. It's that simple. Don't apply effort in the wrong places. And rather apply it in obedience to the word of God. Don't try to make your own way, but make your way in line with the word of God, and God will make a way for you. This morning, God is going to free some of us from the weight that we've been carrying around. Whatever your situation is, even though it seems seemingly out of control. You see, this notion of control is part of the problem, right? We as human beings have this concept that we can control the issues that we face, or that we can find a way out. It's a false concept, in fact, and mankind so desperately wants to take control of things that we actually have no control over. We've convinced ourselves that we do, though. We've convinced ourselves that we have a say, or that we have the ability, the thought process to control things. But the Bible says that we can't trust ourselves. This feeling of authority or responsibility is sometimes a false feeling, because we can't trust ourselves. If you turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, here we have some instructions that relate to this problem of we can't trust ourselves. And in fact, with it then comes with a set of instructions on things that we can do well. Proverbs chapter 3, and starting verse 5, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. So just pause right there. We are our own worst enemy in this scenario. Trust not in yourself. Well, who am I going to trust in? You, not yourself. You're going to trust in God. So when I think I should do this, no. Consult God. What should I do? But I really feel that this is what we... No. Trust in God, not yourself. We are our own worst enemy, trying to figure things out, trying to work things out, trying to maneuver, manipulate. So let's continue to read. So here's first a warning. Don't trust yourself. Now here's what you can do. Verse 6, in all your ways, all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And as we take these steps in obedience, here's the promise that comes. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So here we have a number of principles or parameters of, that God's given us in his word that says what's in bounds when it comes to things we can control, things that we have an influence, things that we should take a responsibility for. You see, in everyday life, we make thousands of decisions. Every morning we wake up, well, what am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat today? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to sit in the restaurant? What time am I going to get up and do this or that? Thousands of decisions. We make them without even thinking. It's just the way we operate. And when we choose to spend time each day in prayer, we acknowledge God and it produces a straight path. When we choose to read the Word of God each day, our acknowledgement of God produces a straight path. If we're struggling with this flesh, if you find yourself taking the wrong path, well, getting back on the straight path is going to require that you acknowledge God each and every day. One day at a time, and then you do it again the following day, and then the next day after that, and eventually the days start to add up, and you realize that where you were once, you are no longer at, and now you're on this new path, a straight path, a path that is more aligned with the Word of God. And as we become more aligned with the Word of God, it gets easier to follow that path, and one thing leads to another, one day leads to another. But sometimes we make choices that are counterproductive to that process. You know, Facebook and social media is filled with things right now trying to influence other people. Are they not? You know, statements being made, advertisements being posted, campaigns being run. You know, take our position on this. Take our position on this. Take our, right? It's a platform. In fact, it's almost like a war that's going on right now. And some people aren't worried about words that kill. As long as they can try to influence somebody else or get in somebody else's head. And I know it's tempting when a post goes too far to want to respond in defense of what you know is right, but consider, whose house are you trying to build? Are you trying to remodel somebody else's house with those words? Are you trying to build up something through your own abilities, through your own words, through your own... Are we trying to influence? Are we trying to maneuver? You know, it's hard enough to change me. It's much, 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 much harder, I'll say impossible, to change somebody else. See, I need God to come in and change me. I need God's help just for me to make some good choices. And so do you think God needs your help to help somebody else make some better choices? He doesn't. He is the builder, the master builder. He's the one that can lay a foundation. Except he build the house, your efforts are in vain. But here's what we can do. The Bible gives us some very specific instructions. We can put distance between us and that evil thing. So you can't change someone's mind, but you can distance yourself from that bad report. We read in chapter 3, verse 7, it says, depart from evil. Here's something we can do. Here's something that's within our circle of influence, our ability to make choices. We can choose to depart from that evil thing that is influencing us that we previously let in. And when we put our distance between us and that thing, that'll cause us to receive the promise, our health to our navel and marrow to our bones, because we can make some choices. We do have some area of influence, but it's not the one trying to get everybody else on our page. It's the one getting our page on God's page. But I know what you're thinking. Don't worry, Pastor Foreman, I can handle it. No, that's the problem. You can't handle it. And you're not alone. God didn't intend us to handle so many of these things. But that doesn't stop us from trying, does it? As we try to work out our own house or building our own plan or remodeling somebody else's house. Except the Lord build the house. That labor is in vain. So while there's many things I can't change, I can't influence, I can choose to put distance between myself and that thing or that situation or that person, whatever it might be. Now, sometimes it's not even evil that is the thing that is getting a hold of us or pulling us down. Sometimes situations, you know, life is full of them. The stresses of life can sometimes be overwhelming. The worst of them can become financial stress. There's a certain uncertainty and inability that comes with that financial stress that brings all sorts of sorrows when the bill collector calls and the rent's past due and it's easy to become so trapped, feeling like there's no way out, not knowing how you might get over this this storm you're in. But the struggle financially is in part somewhat similar to other struggles we face. See, we go at it from the perspective, how can I dig myself out of this hole? I know we put ourselves in the hole oftentimes, right? We're the one who racked up the credit card charges and did this or that. But so regardless, how am I going to dig myself out of this hole? That's how we approach it, right? How am I going to work harder, smarter, make more money, do something better, right? It's me, me, me. How am I going to do this? I remember a message that Brother David Dorflinger preached last year. He said that money makes a terrible master, but a good servant. But the money and the debt that has somehow, maybe it's the taskmasters, like the Egyptians were the taskmasters put over the people of Israel, that somehow we so easily fall into bondage. But reading again from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, here's what's within our ability to influence. So whether we're feeling trapped or we're feeling the oppression of things or that the financial stresses of life have pulled us to a lower level, we may not be able to find our own way out. In fact, maybe we shouldn't be trying to look so hard for our way out and find our way into obedience with the Word of God. Reading again from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." So no matter where something comes into you, if it's an increase, if it's something you didn't have before, then there's a commandment here to honor the Lord with the first fruits. So that, and then here's the blessing that comes, so that the barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So I want to ask you this morning, who's building your financial house? Except the Lord build the house. Except God be in the focus of your efforts. Your efforts are in vain. That second job is not the answer. That third job is not the answer. The paper route, the whatever it is. If you haven't taken the first step in obedience to the Word of God, that's where the effort needs to go. Let me let you in on a little secret. We're all human. Right? Okay, that wasn't a secret. But as humans, we all have to learn what's in bounds within our circle of influence. We have to learn what things we can actually control and what things we actually have no control over, which is actually most things. Let me illustrate this for you with this roll of tape. I remember as a young man, got my first real job, right? The one that didn't pay a little over minimum wage. And I remember working really hard. There were some long hours that were made in that job, and you know, as you're in that place, you try to get good with the boss, right? Because you know, then if you're good with the boss, then maybe good things will flow to you. And so, whatever they ask, you do it. You try to find a way to make it happen. And sometimes those hours, they end up being pretty late. And you start sacrificing things that, well, it's all for the possibility that maybe when that promotion comes up next time, that your name will be the one that they pick. Because you're trying to find a way to work it out. You're trying to make your way in life. You have all these new responsibilities, these bills, these pressures, and you're saying, well, what am I going to do? How do I make this happen? And so as a young person, I tried to do that. I tried to make all the right decisions, you know, be friendly with the boss, work the extra hours, and show how dedicated I was. But then one day, 10 years later, they handed me a pink slip and said, "I'm sorry, your position is no longer needed." And so, actually in that moment, I must have been praying a lot, because I had faith in God that as the senior leader handed me that slip and said, "I'm sorry, we're eliminating your position. We'll keep you for 6 months and see what happens. But after that, I can't promise you that you'll still have a job." And I said, "Oh, don't worry about that." And I with a smile, I accepted it and said, "It'll all work out." And he's like, later he said, "You're the only person that had a smile on their face when I gave him that news." And I learned through that situation, see, sometimes you have to get let down in order to realize that it's not you that's in control of these things. A company has to pass you up, or you have to not get the job, or you get the pink slip, Or you get let go and then you realize, oh, I'm actually not in charge of this, am I? Sometimes you have to learn the hard way. I'm hoping today I will alleviate some of those hard lessons as you just realize that I don't want to go through the hard version, God. Give me the easy version, the version that just agrees with you. But we're not that good always at that, are we? And so here's the circle of influence that we have over this world in our life. It's that small. It's us. So what's outside that circle? Everything else. See, I can't influence or control you. I can't change the weather. I can't make the economy happen. My vote isn't going to make that big of a difference in the government. I'll still vote, but I'm not going to get engaged in politics or campaigning, or because that would just take me away from the things that I could do, things that I can make choices for that all reside in this circle. It's a pretty small circle, the things we can actually control. And I remember as I went through that situation, that specific situation, within a few months, all of a sudden, they found a new opportunity for me, a new task, and it was very different from my old task. I was in sales before, and now this was into project management. And as a result, for the next 2 years, I worked with all of these amazing consulting firms and executives and doing work that I would have never, ever had the opportunity to do. I learned so many things in those 2 years that then God used that again at the end of those 2 years. I somehow ended up in, again, it was kind of like the projects are over and the senior manager says, I'm not sure what we have for you unless you move to Quebec. And I was like, no, we're not moving to Quebec. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, if you're from Quebec, we love Quebec. We just don't want to live there. I mean, it's good for you, not good for us. Because we love this church. I'm not going to leave the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow to go find chase something else, right? And so at the end of that time, a good situation, even again, and seasons changed, and God opened up a door, and lo and behold, all of that training and experience I had gained in that short period of time was exactly what I needed for God to give me the next promotion, and through that open door is a blessing I couldn't even imagine. And I've been at that same company ever since, almost 8 years this June. But it's not because I worked extra hard or was good with the boss or said the right things. It's because I started to focus on the things that were in my circle that I could influence and not the things that were outside of my circle. Except the Lord build a house. They that labor in vain. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't work hard. So let's be clear, because the Bible actually says that when we do work, we should work as if it's unto the Lord. That we should apply ourselves. And in fact, I was so grateful as I was reading this week. It actually kind of refreshed me a little bit as I was starting to feel a little bit stale in work. And I was just like, oh, I got to do this. And then I read the scripture and I was like, oh, I got to do this. It's unto the Lord. I'm going to do my best because I love God. And God's going to bless it because I'm doing it to the best of my ability. That doesn't mean I'm going to sacrifice things in order to do it. See, there's a difference there. There's a small and subtle change where it's not us trying to earn it. It's us trying to do our best in the time that we have and not overextend or trade that time for time that should have been with God or family or with loved ones or you fill in the blank. See, Psalms 75 and 7 says, God is the judge, and it's God who puts one up and puts one down and sets another up. It's God that chooses who gets the promotion. It's God who chooses who gets the pink slip. It's God that chooses how he wants to build the house. Luke 6 and 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So here's how to get the promotion at work. Honor the Lord with your first fruits, and of all thine increase, give unto the Lord what's due him, and your barns will be full. And when you go to work, work as if you're working for the Lord himself. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, if you turn your Bibles there with me, this is the portion of scripture that says that when we do our best, we should do it for the Lord. Not that we're doing it for men, that we would please them, but that we would please the Lord. Colossians 3:18. So where it says servants, let's just change that for as employees. Instead of masters, let's change that for your manager. So employees, obey all the things that your managers say according to the flesh, not with eye service, not trying to put on a show, not as men pleasers, not trying to win the boss's affection, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong for which he hath done, and there shall be no respect of persons. See, God doesn't care what your last name is or what side of the tracks you came from. If you do it unto the Lord, he's going to bless it. But if you do it to work your way up the corporate ladder, well, then you're on your own. And in fact, he's going to do the opposite. See, with God, it's obey and God builds the house for you. Disobey, and now you're on your own building your own house, and you're trying to do things that you actually aren't equipped to do at all. Now, as we think about bettering ourselves, I want to be clear again, I'm not preaching about not going to school or bettering oneself. In fact, I personally enjoy the challenge of learning. It gets boring after a while to do the same thing. So as you reach for new things, that's an opportunity to learn something new somehow. And I've seen how God has brought me into contact over the years with people who have helped me become the person I am today, and managers I had that were helping me grow even when I didn't want their help so much. But the Bible says that, you know, in reality, we can't add anything to ourselves, our own stature. But God can add many things. If you turn your Bibles next to Luke chapter 12, verse 25. Luke chapter 12, verse 25 talks about this principle of, you know, what can you influence? What do you actually have control over versus what do you need God to take control of in your life so that he can build that house? Luke 12 and 25 says, "And the which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubic, or about 18 inches? If ye then not being able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest of it? If it's not inside that circle, why are you worrying about it? Why are you taking charge of those things that you were never intended to take charge of? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. That flower that is planted in your garden is doing a better job at staying in the circle than you are." Sorry, I keep pointing over here to you, Brother Smith. I'm not talking to you. But I appreciate the amen, so maybe that's... Why are all of us taking responsibility for things when the flower that's growing in your garden is doing a better job of just trusting in God? If God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in heaven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So here's what you can do. Here's what's in your circle. But seek ye rather the kingdom of God, and all these things that are outside your circle will be added unto you. So while I should work heartily as if it was unto the Lord, we shouldn't work heartily as if we're trying to insulate ourselves from needing to have God working in our lives. Instead of trying to build our own house, the Bible says to simply seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these things that we're trying to work out before will just happen in God's time and God's plan. He wants to build a house for you that's better than the one you want to build for yourself. We're not talking about a physical house. But there are physical blessings that come with obedience to the word of God. So chances are, whether it was on the job or in some social setting or perhaps even in church, have you ever known someone or met someone that's trying very hard to tell you how successful they are? They drop little hints in their conversations just to inform you of their status and their superiority or their whatever. Spoiler alert, The more someone wants you to think they are something, the less they are convinced themselves that they are actually something. See, they're continually needing to plant those little seeds is them trying to convince themselves as they try to convince you. In the context of this message, these people are trying to take control of a building, of building their own house and attempting to make a name for themselves rather than letting God elevate them. See, except God build a house, except God elevate a person, except God put you in a place. All those little things we try to do to show off, to communicate success, to whatever, it's all vanity. Luke 14:11 says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased or unexalted." So the more you try to let people know how successful you are, the less successful you are. "And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." The less you try to let everyone know whatever it is, the more everyone will know whatever it is. See, God puts one up and another down. God builds a house, or else there isn't a house that's worth building. In this season of no handshakes, I've been trying to start a new trend. It's starting to catch on because I got it this morning. Since we can't shake hands, I give the humble bow. You should try it. It's actually kind of fun. This Western culture we live in is lacking a lot of humility. Right? We're all about the show. Let me on Instagram tell you everything that's amazing about my life. Half of it's fake, and I've filtered all the pictures so they look more amazing than they were. But let me tell it to you anyways. You know, this is people elevating themselves. Look at me, look at me, look at me. When God's saying, no, humility is the way to be blessed. Humility is the way to be lifted up. Humility, you don't need to toot your own horn. God will. The Bible says that God is actually attracted to humility, and he's repelled by pride. And so similarly, God is attracted to those who allow him to build their house, and he's repelled by those who want to try to figure it out for themselves. Now, it can be very tricky trying to find this balance between, you know, what I should and can do and what I should let God do. It's an ever-ending balancing act, in fact. You know, there are some actions I need to take. There are some things in my circle that I need to choose, but it's so easy to then slip outside of our circle and start grabbing a hold of other things. You know, even when we take a situation to God in prayer, it's so easy to take that situation and then, God, I need you to do this, and then we're done praying and we pick it right back up and walk out the door with it. And so here's the balance. Here's how we need to strike that right balance between things we can do and things we trust God to do. When we bring that situation to God in prayer and we say, God, I need you to intervene in here, we need to then leave it at the feet of Jesus and not pick it back up. Amen. And then the next day when we have that same feeling, God, I need you, we need to do it all over again and again and again and again until God takes that thing out of our lives in a way that we don't have to ask him to help us anymore. But we do both. We ask for God to intervene, and then we try to work it out on our own. We ask for God to intervene, and then we go say some things to somebody. We ask for God to intervene, and then we grumble and mumble about our situation that isn't the way we want it to be. If you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 gives us the instructions on this process of letting go of some things. See, we have the ability to choose to speak it, to pray it, to make a request of God. That's in our circle. See, that's me. I need to speak it. But then I need to let God do the rest of the things that happen outside the circle. Philippians 4 and 6 says, "Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about all those other things outside your circle, but in everything, by prayer or worship and by supplication or intercession with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." And so while we understand that scripture, you see, here's the problem. We make a request of God and we want him to flip the light switch on, like light turning on in a dark room, that all of a sudden it takes care of itself. But God, he works in a much different time frame than we tend to work. But I've seen situations where I thought there was no way this thing would ever change, except then all of a sudden over time, made my request known, found the peace of God, and realized in some of them I didn't have a choice. There was no option for me to exercise some action. And truly waiting on God was the answer that I needed all along anyways. In fact, some of the situations were situations that caused me to learn how to wait on God, where I wasn't as patient before. You know, this notion of we bring things to God, but then we pick them right back up again, it really, we start to fill our bag up with all sorts of stuff. And we don't even realize it. And I think 4 weeks, I'm leaving for a backpacking trip, and so I'm having to start to think about, well, what's going to all go in the bag? Because whatever's in the bag is going to be on my back, and we're going to be hiking up a mountain to go camp in some place where whatever you have, you carried in with you. And so all of a sudden, you start to really start to downsize some things of, well, what do I actually need? And what is just nice to have? Or what's an extra thing? And so I brought that with me this morning. Oh, in fact, it's not going to work with a suit jacket on. So here, let me. My son and son-in-law, in fact, are in the mountains right now experiencing the power of God through one of the Man Up adventures. They got to drive a car to their campsite and then pull the tent out of the hatchback. I'm going on a different trip, a trip that requires you to carry everything. Oh, this doesn't work with a mic pack either. Let's see. We might have gotten tangled up. I broke that microphone already. This will be the next one I break. All right. In fact, this morning was the first time I started to load this thing up with the actual things that were going to go in it. And I put it on and I said, oh my God, what did I sign up for? And it's only like half full. It only has half of the stuff. Oh, we're going to have to get the scale out and start weighing the things that go in our backpack. So if you remember, do you see the hiking poles? They're still here. We've been hiking. We've been exercising. They actually have like a schedule you're supposed to keep, because this is a physical event that's going to take place, this backpacking, and I'm kind of getting old, and I'm not in shape, and so I've been trying to exercise, but this next month I have to start doing it with the pack on, fully loaded, so we get good at carrying the weight. See, you've all been carrying weight every day that you just didn't realize it. I remember when I first came into this truth, when I was when I repented and I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden there was this weight that was gone in my life that I didn't even know was there until it was gone, right? You don't know what you don't know till you know it. And so as we go through life, as we pick up things, as we, even when we bring them to the Lord and we say, Lord, I need you to take care of the situation, and then we grab them right back up and put them back in the pack and carry it along for our journey, and not realizing that, wow, this is getting really heavy. How many years have I been carrying this load with me? How many years have I been picking that thing back up? I know there's some things that aren't right. I know there's some things that are wrong in this world. I know there's situations that aren't fair in your lives. I know there's pressures that feel like there's no way out. But God has made a way. He said, if you'll just bring it to me, if you'll stay focused on what's inside your circle, if you'll put it at my feet and not pick it back up after you make your petitions, no, well, then you can be free. And next time you feel that weight show back up, all you have to do is do it again and again. And again, and I promise you, eventually God will either show you the way out of that thing, or he'll give you the peace in that thing so that you don't have to carry the extra weight. Well, it's on my back now. I think it would be more dangerous for me to take it off. And that's a good sign for you, because this means we're getting close to the end. You know, as I even have been looking at life lately and saying, well, what do I really need? What could I do without? Pastor asked me last week, we were talking about golf, and my son-in-law Dakota has gotten very much into golf this year. Got one of those passes. I think a few of you have too. And you know, nothing wrong with golf. Golf's great. He asked me, you know, would you be interested in getting involved or, you know, trying learning how to golf? I said, you know, really, I'm looking to let go of some hobbies, not pick up some new ones, because I already have too much in my collection. There's already too many things that are occupying my time. I already have too much stuff to keep track of. I'm looking to simplify. I'm looking to question what I've been carrying around with me, because there's just some extra stuff. I mean, the world we live in today is just, it's designed to fill in every moment of time, isn't it? In the name of progress, we've progressed away from having free time to having no time, or having our time occupied so easily by all these things. You know, this last week I was technology being one of those things. I had updated my iWatch, and I don't wear it a lot, but occasionally if I'm trying to, you know, pay attention to stuff that might be going on at work, it's a good way to be able to do multi things. And I had it updated the watch, and I was wearing it, and the watch actually told me it was time to stop and take a break. I was like, what do you, it said, in fact, it said, breathe. I was like, what's this, a breathe notice? I've been breathing since the day I was born. I don't need a watch to tell me to do that. But even our technology knows that it's gone so far into messing with us that it reminds us, you've been sitting in front of your screen too long, you've been typing on your keyboard too long, you've been in one place, you need to get up and do something. You need to breathe. It's a sad day when our technology knows better what we need than we do. All these extra things we've been picking up and putting in our packs and carrying along with us as if they were requirements for life, when they are far from requirements. And at the same time, as we fill our pack with all these things, it gets harder and harder to find time for God, because we're so busy, we're so burdened, we have so many things going on, there's so many distractions. And then as we start to reflect and look in the mirror and more accurately say, okay, there's some things I don't actually need. There's some things I could do without. There's things that I've been trying to work out on my own when I just need to become obedient to the Word of God and let God build it for me instead of me build it for me. If the musicians would come as we turn to our last scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You know what? I actually grew up in the house that's in the scripture, I think. The house that I was born in was built on a sandy beach, almost on the Illinois border, the south side of Kenosha, Pleasant Prairie, right on Lake Michigan. The house my parents lived in when I was born. Now, I don't actually remember living there because I was, you know, that's that big. But I've seen pictures and I've heard stories. And I actually can see some residue of where that house used to be. The house we lived in, the house I grew up in, actually used to be on the beach, right along Lake Michigan. But as the waters came up, it eroded the sand, and eventually it came so far up that they had to lift the house up, put it on a trailer, and bring it over to a new lot, which is the one I remember, the one that I lived in, the house that I grew up in. But the house used to be built on sand. It was on exactly what we read in the scriptures, and that was a problem. And so they had to move it to a better place, a better location, a safe place. Matthew 7 and 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And then the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and the great was the fall of it. There's some of us that are struggling through life because we've been trying to build our own house, and we've been building it on the wrong foundation. This morning, God wants to free us of some of the things we've been carrying around, some of the things that have been occupying us, so that we can start to let go of things outside of our circle of influence and start focusing on the things, really us, that's inside that circle. Because the more we take steps in obedience, the more sure a place our house will be built on, and the more obedience we have, the more God can build that house the way he wants it to be built. And then consequently, the less obedience we have in our lives, the less sure place that we're in, and the less obedience we have in our lives, the less God can build that house that he desires us to have. And so at the end of the day, the only decisions that we really can influence are the ones that reside in this house, this circle of influence. And if we'll focus on ourselves, as we'll take steps in obedience, as we'll have that daily communion with God, as we'll read his word, as we'll invest in that relationship, then all of these other things around that circle will start to flourish. We don't need to make it happen or apply our own intelligence, our own effort. If we'll just apply it here, then God will open up doors. He'll send people to us. He'll build other houses because we've let him build our house. And that's the foundation that God wants to lay in this church. He is ready to build. This series is talking about a building program, and it's not the building program of the physical structure that we're in. It's this spiritual house that God wants to build. And as we allow him to build it, he then allows that to be replicated in other people. If you'd stand with me this morning, this week, this month, start to question, where am I putting my effort? What am I trying to achieve? Have I put effort into my obedience to the Word of God? Have I taken steps? And I'm not just talking about not being involved with sin. I'm saying being involved in a relationship. Have I taken steps to be involved in a relationship with God? Have I put energy in the things that I actually can influence myself and allow God to take care of the things that I can't influence around me? I believe in the coming weeks, God is going to start to show us the blessing of letting him build the house. And so as we open up this altar, wherever you're at in this sanctuary, I wonder this morning if you couldn't even ask God this morning, God, what is it that I've been carrying around that I should have had no business carrying around in the first place? God, what is it that I keep picking up from the altar as I make intercession and prayer for? God, what is it that I need to leave at your feet this morning? God, what is it that I need to declutter from my pack, God? What is it that I need to simplify in order to make room for you, God? Would you bring those things to my mind, God? Because I want you to build this house. Thank you, Jesus.